While Egypt is the first civilization that comes to mind when the topic of mummification is mentioned, they were far from the only culture to observe elaborate burial rites and practice the art of ritual mummification. Along the coastal regions of southern Peru and Chile in South America, archaeologists have been uncovering mummies which predate those of ancient Egypt by nearly 2,000 years. Unfortunately, many of these sites fall prey to tomb robbers and bandits who raid these important cultural sites for anything of value. In 2015, a group of these individuals claimed to have stumbled onto something much more valuable than relics or jewelry. Numerous news websites covered the story of reports that one of these less-than-legal expeditions had retrieved a collection of mummies that appeared human at first glance, but featured a number of strange deformities. Three-fingered digits and elongated skulls appeared to mark them as something not of this world. This case file joined the theorists as they do a bit of bone wrangling in Alien Mummies.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 263.
And right here is where Braden realized he was fucking wrong again. This is Case File 264, Alien Mummies, with the theorists, minus the best theorist.
You know, is your typical like fantasy. Dan, why don't we start with you?
Alien Mummies, like.
Yeah, Alien Mummies. like you said,
Lady Dimitrescu from Resident Evil 8. Or is it 9?
I get that.
No, 7. Village. Whatever. Resident Evil, the village. Yeah. I don't know what number it is.
I'm more of an alien mamacita guy myself.
You like a
you know?
Yeah, a little curvy. Yeah, I can get down with that. Yeah.
A little curvy. Yeah. A little fiery.
So like Mars, Martian or something. Zeta Reticulan. Nordic. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, but sure.
Somewhere south of the Milky Way border.
Build that space wall, baby. Let's keep them out.
What?
Now, what we're talking about today is alien mummies. And obviously, Zell's not here. First pod of the new year. He misses. Wow. Classic. I guess the guy went a little too hard during the extravaganza and just couldn't hack it. So, he had to call in sick.
Yep. Some of us aren't built for distance. Yeah. Some of us are built for...
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Some are built for... I mean, now, alien mummies, I mean, this is a tale as old as time, right? We're some sort of highly technologically advanced civilization coming back and perhaps leaving behind, you know, some little pickle mummies for humans to... mummify. Right? Tales of this time.
Yeah. I mean, mummification, just as a human practice, goes back, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Artificial mummification, you know, kind of the Egyptians being kind of the total archetype that you think about when you think about mummies, yeah. You know, dehydrating the body artificially using lye, salts, whatever, wrapping them in linen and then, you know, placing them inside of somewhere that is dry. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that the decomposition that would normally happen to a natural body outside, you know, vulnerable to the weather and elements, then we can retrieve these bodies today and you get to find all the neat stuff that we do today. But again,
curses.
Yeah, like curses, many curses.
Now, do you think, I was kind of having this thought earlier today when I was trying to like think about like, you know, why they did mummification practices and stuff. And I kind of went on a long, long crazy thought. One of the thoughts I had was like, I wonder if back then, you know, if there was some sort of more technologically advanced aliens or something that were visiting Earth, coming down, you know, meeting with the locals, and maybe they showed them this practice, and maybe this practice is akin to us, like, cryogenically freezing people now, where, you know, they say they Walt Disney's frozen somewhere, they're going to bring them back, and maybe this is something where they were like, oh, we can do this hybrid practice, and they can just be rehydrated once, you know, once whatever ails them, and they can be brought back to life later. And we've just been destroying that practice. It'd be like if 100,000 years you found frozen Walt Disney, you'd be like, they froze him. He's dead, and they froze him.
So would you? We're just missing the hieroglyphic that says just add water.
Yeah. It's like those, you know, those little dinosaurs, right? The little dinosaurs that you throw in the tub. That's what we're doing wrong. Like the Atacama pickle baby, you throw that motherfucker in the bathtub, let him soak. Full blown human, 6'2", right? Comes out of there. We've never even tried. Have we tried it, Dan? Have we tried it?
Probably not.
If you're talking about perhaps. Finding a, in terms of a juicy mummy, I mean, we do have the example of the one high noble Chinese mummification process that we found, the one that was sealed inside like the 7 lacquered boxes, and they took her out. It's like mummification practices vary from culture to culture, and it's not always just a single, I mean, a lot of people think it's just, I mean, probably off the top of your head, some people would be like, oh yeah, you know, you just put a single person in there. But no, we have evidence in a lot of burial sites that where
servants,
animals everything. I mean, but not even just that, but
you just finished like, digging the hole, you're the, like, and they're like, get in. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Just think of the Chinese clay soldiers. Like you have an entire army of figurines and sculptures like laying to rest with an emperor or a person of high status. So mummification is a practice that is worldwide and not just in places like we said, we're mostly talking right now about artificial, but natural mummification does happen in some places, places where it's extremely dry, places with low humidity, places like the coastal parts of Peru, like in those areas. Just off the top of your head, I mean, you think of the famous Peru mummies, the Peruvian mummies, where these we have evidence to suggest that these were sacrificial victims, that they were lowered into these caves or these depressions in the earth, where they were left to as an offering for deities or what have you. And their bodies were just naturally preserved and had a number of these. And that's where we get the origin of a lot of claims of, you know, when you combine the mysterious and the secrets and all of the interesting pieces of information about the Nazca lines, and then you combine that with mummies, mummification, there is some suspicion and there's some claims that there have been mummies of non-human origin found in these places. And especially the really big announcement, if people remember, because I know people will be like thinking, they'd be like, you know, alien mummies, I heard something about that. Yes, you probably did. And that was probably in 2017, where it was the big... When did Gaia.com like first come online? Like when did they pop up? I forget when they got really popular in it. Cause I remember
they got their own channel.
Gaia.com
was they're blown there.
They do.
Let me tell you, it's 90% Linda Moulton Howe.
But that's where in the early days of Gaia.com, that's where the first real claims of an alien mummy came about. Now, it's not the first. Those weren't the first alien mummies. If you're deep into the alien weeds like we are, like you've heard of alien mummies before. If you heard about the Roswell slides, you've heard about, you know, to some extent that the Paracas skulls, those things. So evidence of extraterrestrial bodies and pickle baby. Yeah.
We got pickle baby.
These topics and these claims have been made before. But in 2017, this was a really big one that came out and was on a bunch of, it popped up in a couple of news sites and a couple, and especially on Gaia.com, they made a whole series about this alien mummy that they found. And it was from just an initial glance, like this alien mummy, it's like, it should have, it was something big, because it's like, when you look at it, at first you think, well, you know, it has these long, thin limbs. It's got a kind of strange looking head, but nothing that looks at first glance, you know, totally non-human. But then when you get to the appendages, when you pan down to the hands, it's got three digits on its hands and its feet.
It looks like it's primed to start the Mars reactor.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And these elongated, and not just like three digits, like human finger length digits. Like these are extremely long and thin fingers, digits, phalanges, well, whatever you want to call them.
When were fireworks invented? Because we got tons of three-fingered motherfuckers after fireworks.
It's funny because I was going to say, like, I was trying to, like, when I looked at this and went like, okay, like, have I seen this before? I mean, you know, there is some, if you want to go on down a Google rabbit hole, that you can look up like hand deformities and stuff. And there is some, but I didn't see anywhere it was like the same on both hands. And the only ones that I really thought looked like this kind of like three-pronged finger is the people who have like mangled a hand, like you said, and they've lost a finger. And so they like lose the whole bone. So like cuts, do you know what I mean? Like the hand actually is like kind of like reshaped around the remaining fingers. And I was like, okay, well, shit, that kind of looks like it.
I got one for you. Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah. Flipper fingers.
He's got exact same hands. Yeah. Yeah, man. Same thing. Maybe they got the same penguinitis.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes from a coastal society, they're just there gobbling down fish. God, that scene traumatized me for life.
Give fucking DeVito an Academy Award. Yeah. Honest to God. Like, give him a fucking Academy penguin. Award. Burton had the two best villains. I don't give a I know everybody loves Heath Ledger, but Nicholson and fucking DeVito.
Pretty good. Just it's a just weird twist on the penguin. Not pretty good. A weird twist on the penguin when you think about it.
So good. So weird. So good.
Like around 2016, 2017, a investigative journalist from Mexico named Jaime Maussan introduced to some filmmakers from the Gaia.com, these bodies which had been brought to him, or he had gotten wind of, and said that there were some qualities to these mummies that they need to go ahead and take a look at. So the Gaia researchers, filmmakers got there and, you know, took a look at this, and they decided, well, this is something that looks kind of legit.
Looks fucking creepy.
And you know what? In defense, I'm going to take a stance of when you're a scientist or researcher, but you have to add Gaia in front of that, you're looking for one thing. You're not really looking for too many other explanations other than aliens.
You're looking for your own discovery. Yeah,
exactly.
The information that was given by Maussan was that these bodies, and it wasn't just one, there was a couple, were actually, it was claimed that they were discovered in 2015 by tomb robbers who had been working in the region of Nazca.
Couple of Indianapolis Joneses is what you're saying, I think.
And what they're called normally and around those parts is they're called huaqueros.
Oh, I love huaqueros. They're so good. Cool. You get them at 7-Eleven, two-pack, $7.
I thought those were the ones you had in the huevos roqueros or whatever, right? Isn't that breakfast food?
It's like, I'm pretty sure bones is huesos, so it's kind of like bone wranglers.
Oh, maybe. That's like, cool. That's like, awesome. Like
a weird kind of translation. I think would something would be close to that. Bone raiders or bone wranglers, yeah, wranglers, maybe something like that is what I was trying to translate it to.
That's my new term for loose women.
Oh, buddy. Alien mommies and the bone wranglers.
That's the subtitle on this
alien
episode.
Mommies and the bone wranglers. Oh, great. Love it.
But they're what they like to be referred to as archaeological treasure hunters. So yes, Indianapolis Jones, what they named the dog. And so these were brought to, Terry Hameen, who is the president of the Ankari Cusco Institute. So Terry Hameen, I looked this guy up a little bit, the Ankari Cusco Institute poses itself as some type of like cultural archaeological preservation society. Terry Hameen doesn't like, I mean, when I looked at his stuff, like I'm not 100% sure like what his qualifications are. I know he's got like a
BA. Bone wrangling.
Yeah.
He's a fucking expert bone wrangler.
I think he's actually from France. So he's actually French, but he lives in that area, like Peru.
Where did you get that from? The Henri?
Yeah.
Hameen, Henri. I wrangle the bones.
But he is featured prominently in the, in the Gaia films, which we had to kind of refer to for this case file. So the body that made the biggest splash and that usually we'll see in the headline pictures and the websites that talk about this this discovery is one that is they measured it out. It's about 5'6", 168 centimeters.
Ooh, so
tall.
You add water to this, you got alien shack.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, maybe what happened is they threw him in a tub, but he absorbed the water. They didn't add more, right? So he just kind of stopped, right?
Most of the proportions, like we said before, were similar to humans. But the things that set the actual this apart from a normal human mummy, were the three long fingers on each hand. You had a somewhat elongated skull. There's no nose of which to speak of, and there were no ears. Just
no nose.
Yeah, there were no.
So they're fucking Voldemortians then.
Yeah,
whole fucking race that we don't want to fuck with.
It was covered in some type of white powder, which they assumed had some kind of preservative qualities, and this is what had allowed it to survive the element. Total decay as it were. And the preservation was, you know, to some extent it seemed outstanding that you would find something like this. And then when they examined it, they took x-rays, did CT scans, did all of this stuff. They suspected that the internal organs were intact.
Wild.
So that's what was said in one of the reports,
which is interesting.
I'm starting to get a Rick Dyer feel here. Is this possum meat?
Did we? Little possum meat and baby powder.
Yes, we at this point
we lost the nose. Nah, fuck, it's fine. It's an alien. They might not have noses.
In this part of our extraterrestrial investigative journey as alien theorists theorizing, you know, we're no stranger to hoaxes.
Yeah,
like we're no stranger to these things. So there was a lot of stuff when I began to look at this, and you know. I remember this in 2017. I remember when this was popping up on news sites. I remember seeing all these things and following it. And there's a lot of back and forth between the people who were the discoverers, the people who had been in on the investigation, the Gaia team of researchers. And it's not like they didn't have experts on the team. They had people who were... people from the local area and other scientists abroad who were brought in.
Some bone wranglers
to examine this thing. And they ran an entire battery of tests. Like we said before, they did x-rays, they did CT scans, they did for soft tissue, they did the, and then they did the DNA tests, because that would be, you know, that tells all most of the time. You know, like, okay, like a DNA test for most scientific purposes, that can be like, all right, this is exactly, what is this? Is this human? Is this not human? So when they took the DNA sample from this creature, and it's like, I think they took multiple. They took one from the shoulder blade region, and then one, I think they said, from the hip region. Both of the places that you would find, where it's the correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, like that's where you would get the bone, like the bone would be dense enough to get like a legit...
Without breaking anything?
Yeah. So like that's where you would get that. Those are the best places to take to get an intact DNA sample. So from... This is a quote. So from the DNA sample, we were able to identify that this is a woman. And they call it...
Ooh, it's a lady.
now known as Maria is what they referred it to. They named
Maria.
And they said that the Y chromosome, like in humans, is missing. So therefore they referred to it and they labeled it as female. And this was information that was given by Michael Asiev, who is the head of the genetic analysis department of the Russian Academy of Science, in the Gaia.com video.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you too, though. Like, what do you think the chances are that they parcel out these jobs, right? Like, are these guys getting getting oversight out of the whole specimen? Or are they like, here, these are these DNA samples. We need you to fucking analyze this. So like, almost like I get compartmentalize like the assessment. And then it's like, oh yeah, no, this is definitely human and definitely a female, as opposed to not seeing all the weird ass
sure,
fucking
not,
chicken
not
bones
injecting.
And shit missing.
Right? Not injecting any kind of bias to be like, gonna be like, look, this is a sample we just want you to analyze and
exactly. Yeah. So and then all of a sudden they're like, boom, they said it's a female, like boom, and it's like, well, you know, we also didn't see the fucking monkey skull that you added to it. You know, like I didn't get a chance to see that shit.
Yeah, it is a, they had a whole team of scientists and some of them did the work there, like in Peru. And then some of them did, was it Peru? And then some of them did the work like abroad. And when I say abroad, I think primarily in yeah. Russia, because one of the lead scientists in this case was a Dr. Konstantin Korotkov, who apparently is
awesome
a professor.
Awesome name.
He's a professor
awesome
at St. Petersburg University. And then there's also Dr. Jose de Jesus Zalce Benitez, who is a forensic expert at the National School of Medicine of Mexico, and Natalia Zaloznaja, who's a PhD in head image analysis of the Medical Institute of St. Petersburg. Also, these are the people who gave us the initial, that ran that first battery of tests to kind of determine like what exactly that they were looking at.
Do we know... Were they in this area of the world, were they doing head binding?
In South America, like head binding was a thing. Elongated skulls are a real thing. Yeah. They have an entire collection. They have hundreds of skulls, probably.
So it wouldn't be unheard of to find a fucking elongated skull.
No, they've been finding elongated skulls for decades, if not centuries. Like we've known about that practice, and that it has been practiced in certain parts of Central and South America. So it's not like it wouldn't have been unusual, because that's the first thing they kind of thought. Like, you know, it's elongated skull, its head is it. That's not unusual, but these three long fucking salad fingers, whatever the fuck these things are.
Fuck, man, it's too bad that shit. It's too bad. I like living out of my time because I got that big fucking Egyptian thing on the back somewhere DNA, like just pops. And I would be like, oh, that would be like royalty back then, probably. You wouldn't even have, you didn't have to do it. It's just there naturally.
And like,
it's
I was thinking too, like on the, with the fingers and stuff, I've always thought with the elongated skulls and stuff, it's like they're trying, what are they trying to, you know, make themselves or make the kids look like other than something they've saw, right? So if they've saw some sort of being come down with elongated skull, like they're like, hey, I want my kid to look like this. So then I can say like, oh, he's like one of them.
But you're speaking from a position of fucking privilege here, buddy. And I'm going to explain to you why, okay? All right? Because this area of the world and the other area of the world where we did a lot of elongated skulls, me and Dan understand this. Okay. We're just trying to add a little hype wherever we can.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So add a little fucking, you know, I'll take an inch or I can get an inch. Yeah.
Anything you can stretch, you stretch. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. You got right? Your feet, your skull, feet little gel. Into high heels.
All right. We're not tall people.
I was thinking like, if this is, if just at first glance, if this thing is 100% human, and with the three fingers, maybe they were doing some sort of trying like other body modifications to make themselves look more like whatever these things that they saw were.
Oh, that type of surgery back then? You're losing 1 in 5.
Yeah.
1 in 5 is not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so maybe it's a post-mortem thing they would do, right? Like where they're like, all right, well, we'll make you look more like this.
I wonder. You probably wouldn't be able, I don't know, with mummification, I don't think you'd be able to tell if they're posthumous or not.
But yeah, it's, so, I mean, you guys shouldn't have to worry about it because you have Dr. Konstantin Korotkov on the case, who apparently, from his qualifications, he is an expert and on scientific, or some would say pseudoscientific topics, like a form of Karelian photography, where he uses uses photographs to investigate the physical manifestation of the soul leaving the body. So, that's a thing.
Some skull line.
Yeah, need to get them together. Maybe you can touch a skull line. He can give us some. Maybe he's a protege. Not sure. Also, when I was watching some of the footage that included him, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Samir Osmanagic in a hat, the guy from the Boss Named Pyramids. Like, I'm pretty sure that's him. Same guy.
His fake mustache.
Two cell phones. He's got the cell phone in the ankle holster. Like, I was like, I'm pretty sure.
He's got burned on the Bosnian thing. Now he's on to the next.
So yeah, it's these... most of the information that comes from these things is all in the Gaia stuff, which is now free. Back then, it was like their big seller. This it was called like Nazca Unearthed, I think it was called, and it was like a whole 10 or 11 episode, 12-minute episodes thing.
I can't even imagine
that was aired on Gaia.
What they charged back in the day to watch this.
I think it was on their channel. Yeah. It was on like when they started doing the streaming. That was their big
selling. You can't put a price on truth. All right. We gotta know the truth, buddy.
And like I said before, everybody was paying attention, is like that wasn't the only body that was found. That was probably the largest body though, but there were two smaller bodies that were included with this discovery. So there was these two smaller bodies measuring about 2 feet tall, which had 11 vertebrae, 3 fingers, and 3 toes, like much like
what
Maria.
Is this, the fucking,
I like that. Very consistent with
fucking
the digits,
traveling circus here.
And then they named one Victoria, who the body was not as well preserved as Maria was. Like it was actually headless, and they all seemed to be put in like a posed position, which was the arms wrapped around the knees, which is that was a traditional pose for, like I said before, the human Nazca mummies that had been found and discovered in those parts and that part of the world. That was the natural pose that they usually kind of wrapped them in some kind of, some type of animal leather.
Well, it's like a fetal position too, right?
Like a sack. Like, they kind of just put them in like a bag and like put them down in there.
Well, I think it's and Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, but like once you get them in that position and rigor mortis sets in, you can just roll them. Right? Like they're in a ball. You just, there you go. Roll them.
Yeah. Well, especially when they don't have a head. That's probably how the head came off.
Whoops.
During the roll. Just kicking under the table.
So when I looked at the bodies, I thought something was really strange, because it's like when you look at humans you look at our hands, you'll find that they are fairly symmetrical for most of us who didn't play with fireworks early in life. They're mostly and learned an invaluable lesson about firework safety. They're fairly symmetrical. When you look at these ones, their hands, like even though they are like weird, and you're like, okay, maybe they're alien hands, sure. They're not like they don't look the same. Like the hands, like they're like a little bit shorter. Yeah. Like the fingers a little bit shorter on one hand than they are on the other.
You got a strong like, hand.
You want to know how I know this is a scam? You can't play basketball with these hands.
Yeah, none of these are.
There's no way.
Yeah,
there's
these no are the monsters.
There's no monsters.
These are the guys before they became the Monstars, right? Like
the guys on Moron Mountain.
These guys got cut. They got cut from the Monstars.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's okay. Before they stole all the souls. Right.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so you had these other two things, which, you know, when they were discovered with Maria, I think the assumption was that they were, that these were her children or offspring of some type, because of these similarities and their bodily structures that they had, the three fingers and the three toes.
Are we sure that these aren't fey folk?
I could be. I mean,
come on.
Maybe they could be because with fey folk and their relationship with the natural world, with perhaps plants, would be a good explanation as to why that these, at least one of these, what they said, like Victoria, who is the headless one, they could see pretty much like where I guess what they would refer to as like the spinal column, like the spinal column area, where the head had detached. There were fibers, almost like plant-like fibers, kind of coming out of that
weird
structure, that anatomical structure that was. What it looked like is that the spine would like go up into the head, which is not normal. Exactly.
Maybe they had some sort of, like their spinal cord didn't fucking decompose, like I don't know.
It could be. Weird. Yeah, it's it seems like a lot of the joints, especially in the hands and some of the extremities, is stuff that's like these creatures wouldn't have been they wouldn't have been very flexible.
Real stiff.
A lot of the
it's probably what's gonna look. That's what mine's gonna look like when I die. Yeah. Just yeah. Stiff and frozen.
Me neither.
I can't touch my toes.
I would say, Dan, can you touch your toes?
I can't. You can't. Yeah.
So one in
we, I do. I
we're
stretch,
one
though.
In four.
I stretch,
don't think Zell
stretch,
can touch his kneecaps toes. Standing up. Honestly, yeah. Unflexible.
But it, like, yeah, I don't. When you weight train and shit like that, it's hard to be flexible. My hammies are always tight.
Yeah,
got tight hammies.
Well, that's where you got it. But isn't that where like 80% of injuries are because of inflexibility as you get older?
Nah, honestly, no, not necessarily. There's actually like there's like. Detriments to being too flexible, especially with like weight training and stuff like that. Or if you're too flexible, you get more prone to
and honestly, ACL, MCL, my muscles are so LCL tight tears. At all time, it's holding everything together. So it's like there is no right. injuries because my muscles are keeping.
That's not true though, because you're injured no, all the
not
time.
Anymore.
You don't have any ligaments left in either.
Well,
knee.
That's because and that's why my
bone on
that's
bone.
Why my muscles are all tight all the time. It's because my muscles are doing all the ligament
protecting
work.
It.
Well, then you might have been related to Maria and these tiny creatures because when they
no, he's got a head.
True.
That's Maria had a head, Victoria and the other one had a head as well. They both had heads.
Okay.
My favorite part of the
Dano.
One of my favorite parts about this is like going through these videos, and I'm pretty sure I had watched these before. Like, I feel like I had watched these before, but I went back and watched these again. And my favorite part is when they're doing a 3D scan. They're doing a 3D scan X-ray of the bodies, and it's fun to watch at least one of the experts. I think it was the what's her name, Natalia Zolozhna, might have been her, going through here and being like, "We got spine, we got legs." Yes, you do.
Boom. We got a spine.
Like super.
We got legs.
We got spine. We got legs. Like, cool. I can see those.
So like, yeah, we carried it in here.
Going through the x-rays.
Hey,
like,
Dan, just before we go through the x-rays, let's take a quick beer break. Mm-hmm. And we'll be right back to go through all these.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
We're back!
And now we're going to take that deep X-ray dive into these alien mommies. We got to see what's inside these creatures. They flash, like, when they do these shows, they do these productions, it's always real fun because they'll flash these X-rays like up on the screen, and they'd be like, "Oh, amazing discoveries made of these inhuman structures," and they'll show like X-rays, like, of course, like, you can't show the X-rays that look like they're human. Like, you can't show the ones that are like, "Oh, that could probably may or may not be a human." You have to sell it with the X-ray of the hands, because the hands or the feet, because
messed up.
Those are fucking weird. They're all weird and gross. And they show those X-rays, and like, I'm not a bone expert.
You're not a bone wrangler.
Yeah. I'm not an expert bone wrangler. All right. Amateur bone wrangler, maybe, you know, like at best. but like, you look at those X-rays of those hands, and they just look like, at least like where I get, what are those, your metatarsals and stuff, like where your palm is, like all the stuff that's in there, like all that complicated structure of like where the fingers connect to the hands. That in those X-rays of these Maria's hands, it just looks like a bunch of jumbly jumbles. I don't know how else to explain it.
Just a fucking mishmash.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, if it were something like, okay, if it were something like we found these bodies and the hands had some sort of evidence of trauma, like they had been crushed like by a rock or something, you know, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense of what I'm looking at. But then when they're just like, these things are perfectly preserved, and it's like, dude, that hand is like just, their bones like sticking out at right angles and like weird, like all kind of crisscrossing across each other. I was like, that's not, I don't think anything would work like that.
Something's amiss here.
Something's a little strange. So one of the theories that kind of pops up like while they're doing it is like, okay, if they're alien, sure, that's a possibility. But another possibility is like, these things are, at least this is what Dr. Konstantin Korotkov kind of came up with, the theory that these are bio robots. Like, these are, they may not exactly be aliens, but they are something that was either constructed by extraterrestrials and in order to serve some type of servile purpose or something like that. Could, you know, okay, sure.
So they were constructed with biological
pieces. So yes. Frankenstein's monster, basically.
Right, like Frankenstein's monster. Something like that.
All right, so we need... All right, listen, this is fucking genius. We're advanced civilization. We're aliens. We're smart as fuck. We've got elongated skulls. We've got three fingers. We're fucking tip top. We're the guys. Right. We need these people to build a pyramid for us, whatever the fuck. Big job. A lot of work. So what I'm thinking is, we take about like 12 of them. We fucking kill them. And then we take pieces from 12 of them to make one of them.
Genius.
And then we do that 1,000 times.
Give this man a raise. Right? Give this man more space dollars.
What if we just like make the normal ones do it? You know, we don't have to kill any of them. We have more people to do it.
Yeah, but we brought all this equipment with us. Like, you know, it's just going
to
sit there.
We don't get to kill anything.
If we don't use it, you know, we might not get as much funding.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
We might not get as many space dollar funding next year. So
that's fair.
We should probably use it.
But it's confused. Like, why? Like, what do you mean? Like, why? Like, you, Frankenstein? It'd make more sense if you could, like, grow them.
That's kind of what I thought is if these are just, like, some sort of failed hybrid experiments where they're, like, trying to, like, you know.
So you make the rejects, the ugly ones.
And they're just like, oh, this didn't work. Look at its hand. Something's wrong.
All right.
Yeah. So, like, even if these are biorobots, even that, it's like, if you tried to sell that to me, to be like, okay, these are biorobots. I'm like, yeah, but just look at those hands. Like, even if I were designing a robot, like, a simple robot, like, give me some fucking Lego Technics or something. Like, that's not what a hand would look like, or any type of
thing. You're going to make better hands?
It wouldn't look, work like that. Like, that hand wouldn't work.
Why don't we just make a bunch of fucking T-1000s?
Yeah, that's a valid point to be like, yes, why wouldn't they make a bunch of like weird little like liquid metal bio robots, I suppose would be a better choice.
Braden says though, maybe like Braden's saying like these are the rejects, maybe that's why we're finding them, because it's like, remember like fucking, you know, what a terrible example. Like, remember 300 with that little fucking shitty guy that wanted to shirt?
Wanted
to be Spartan and just toss him off the fucking mountain, right? Like, these are the guys who are like, well, I still only got three fingers. This one doesn't even have a fucking head. Yeah. Toss him. Torch him. Get rid of him.
I would say that could be a possibility that you like, you know, they grew these things and then, you know, only, you know, the these aliens that have the ability to travel across the vast distances between stars are, you know, they produce 1 in 8 are rejects. Like 1 in 8 of their robots that they grow don't come out, right? So they just got
to
toss one.
That's kind of what I was thinking, is that they were just trying to like, grow these things based like these biological robots. Maybe they even did take them with them, right? It's like a souvenir. They're like, oh, we'll get some of the biological, we'll make some sort of weird bio robots and then take them with us. And they're like, they did the first one and they're like,
maybe these aren't biological robots, but like we've talked about many times, right? With I'm not going to say his name because we're going to name drop him all the time, but you know, like for example, that aliens are just us from the future. We've lost the fucking ability to procreate.
We forgot so these what are just fingers look like.
We're making our own clones. These are the rejects. Right, like you're saying, like so we have to keep the civilizations alive. We have to make our own. Right. We can't just procreate like naturally anymore because whatever the fucking birthing canals have narrowed. Whatever heads got too big.
I would probably be more on board with that if these hands, like the hand, it's just these fucking hands, man. Like I look at these things, they become fixated on them because like you look at these, not just the hands but the feet too. These things, like they're not put together right. Like they're not, if they were grown, I'd be like, yes, they would probably look a little bit more functional because like when you look at these things, it's like, oh, okay. Like, is it supposed to walk? Like there's no evidence of like, supposed to walk? Yeah, even then it's like, why do you have these weird, because like the toes, right? Okay. So there's the three long fingers and there's the three long toes, which are as long as, if not like, just a little bit shorter than the fingers, which are like, they're like 2 feet long. They're gross. But even then it's like, how would you walk? Because with humans, at least it's like, you know, we got our big toe and like and the pinky toe, which kind of like serve as like stabilizers, right? So it's like, if you had these three toes, they stick straight out.
Yeah. Like, there's no way like it's not going to have a lot of balance.
I don't know what it's going to balance on. You know, only thing I could think of is like, and in my head, I was like, okay, maybe they're like prehensile. Maybe they're like a spider monkey. I don't know. Like maybe they their primary means of locomotion is like swinging it across some pipes in the zero gravity or something. Like that's
Do you remember Exo Squad?
I do remember Exo Squad, yes.
These are the fucking Exo Squad aliens. That's why they have little creepy fingers.
The blue
they
don't guys.
Need to, all they need to do is control the giant robots.
Right?
They've evolved.
So that like Independence Day aliens, like the they live in the little exos.
Well, okay. A lot of people say that like if you didn't wear shoes your whole life and you were barefoot, like your foot would look a lot different because you would have more splayed toes than what we have.
Sure.
Well, no, just not like you're.
I mean, yes, right? Yes.
So what I'm saying is that maybe through some sort of evolution of whatever these things are, is that they've evolved. Like they don't use toes anymore, right? So it's like, well, they only got a couple of useless ones left because they got these fucking dope ass fucking Air Jordan. You know,
no. They control giant robots. They send them like the Exo Squad.
Or Independence Day. They're then the exoskeletons.
Like, or Independence Day.
Right. So they're not using it. Exactly. They're losing it. right? They're losing the function of these things that we have. That's why they look...
Yeah, they just get longer.
Well, it just looks...
Like, they don't just, like, shorten up and go away. They get longer.
Well, maybe. Maybe this thing had, you know, it was like Peggy Hill feet, right? Big-ass feet.
Well, Peggy uses those feet. So there was another point that was brought up, and like, I went across doing my research and I went across a couple of videos, and like they had some more x-rays and like some more kind of like close-ups of the feet and the hands and whatever. And it's like, there's this weird thing about the hands and how they are like the first one on the smaller ones, they almost look like they're like, okay, like that hand looks better than the other hand. Like the first hand, it seems to be like all kinds of, yeah, it's super jumbly. And then the next one seems to be less jumbly. Mm-hmm. Seems to be like, okay, maybe, you know, if these were artificial creations, and I'm not talking about of terrestrial origin, that somebody was like practicing, like if somebody, you put together the first hand and you're like, okay, that one's done. And then it's like the mistakes that I made on the other hand, I won't make with this hand. I can, you know, looks like somebody might have been practicing almost to put these things together. And there's also the fact that when you go through and like you count the bones, you get a different number of bones for each hand, like 31, 27, 24, 26 bones.
Yeah.
Different number of bones and hands. Yeah, it's hard for me to dismiss the points that were brought up in some of the videos about being like, some of the bones look like they're actual bones taken from different parts of the body. Like there are bones that, and some bones that actually look like they're just like cut off, because even in some of the x-rays, you can see like some bones just end abruptly. Like normally where you'd have like, you know, that's where the joint would go. That's where the one bone would fit into another. Like this is, you know, even if you just look at a regular human hand bone, like you can see how the bones would fit together. Like there's the arches and the, you know, in the nodules and like where they would fit together. Some of them definitely don't look like that.
Well, it's such a weird thing to like, when I go like, because when you see this, it does, like you said, it starts to look like someone was like, shit, I'll do this next one better. But it's such a weird thing to try to hoax on this level to get it to go. Because I'm like, you're not going to fool. There's a level of like visual you can fool someone. And then there's a level of like, the second we start testing in these things, it's like, you're going to be like, your hoax is going to be, right? Like,
Yeah, but it was enough to get them their own fucking show on.
Yeah, I guess so, right? I guess
the big leagues.
Yeah.
And you know, personally for me, a lot of content from Gaia is a lot of it is like, you know, they're big claims. They make big claims. When I go in and read this stuff, a lot of it doesn't exactly satisfy my rigorous academic standards that I usually apply to most of the stuff that I read. A lot of it is just kind of like, you know, it's like, it sounds good. A lot of it is interesting. They are interesting reads and food for thought sometimes. And then sometimes you get stuff like this where it's like, okay, I am no expert, but I look at those and I have been to the Museum of Natural History multiple times and I've seen bones and how they fit together. Like, and I was like, that is not how they fit together. I have a very basic understanding of anatomy.
This isn't fit for me.
I may not be a bone wrangler,
yeah,
but
I might not be an expert bone wrangler, but I do understand that their bones have to fit together at a certain point, and you have to have, there has to be some sort of presence of ligaments and stuff. All of those things. You know, biomechanics, some tiny principles there that would, this thing wouldn't be able to walk. It was just making me laugh trying to think about like how like what would be the primary means of locomotion. Like I said, I was like, okay, maybe, yeah. We said exosuits,
slithering.
Perfectly. Yeah, I could believe that if they were at work, you know, primary means of transportation is exosuits. Maybe they live out their lives in exosuits. Maybe they are more accustomed to zero G. That's a possibility, and so they just use their fingers and hands to kind of like move along.
Yeah.
The wall, you know, move along corridors and stuff and pipes like they do in, I guess, like in Gundam and stuff, like in zero G gravity. Yeah. Like you just have to grab onto stuff and around. Like propel yourself, is really what you want to do.
You would need a lot of muscle tone. So then maybe if it's something that crashed here, right? And they're like, now they're fucked, right? Sure. Right? Like if you crashed a ship here and you were like this, you would be literally, there's nothing you could do. You would almost have a hard time breathing just on the weight of our gravity.
Yeah.
Maybe they're human octopus hybrids.
The start of them.
Yeah. But there's no, if they had like suckers on their hands or something, like I believe it. Like,
well, yeah, but decomposition, wouldn't that just get rid of them?
They'd still be there. They have some type of like,
really?
You know, it's like you'd be able to tell, I think, that they have some kind of,
maybe that shit was just too real for guys.
Maybe all of these bodies just had tentacles that were sprouting off their body and they all decomposed. Yeah.
I'd say so.
So, yeah, if you wanted to throw those theories into the ring and let them fight it out, like it could be like, yes, some of those I could be allowed for for an explanation as to the why these things exist and why they look the way that they do. And I would be a little less skeptical if the person that kind of brought all this to light, as it were, it was Jaime Mausin that we mentioned at the very beginning. This wasn't his first alien mommy roundup. Like, this is not his first one. We mentioned like earlier, like at the beginning of the show, I said that the Roswell slides, which might be a full case file later, but he was part of that whole shebang. And I remember those two when those came out. This is when they found a small, it's not the one that we talked, it's not Pickle Baby. It's a different Pickle Baby, I guess.
It is a Pickle Baby, but not the Pickle Baby, but another
Pickle Baby.
Listen, there's only one Pickle Baby.
He was in on the Roswell slides, and he was also in one that a lesser known one that was called the Metepec creature. And if you look this up, it is a type of kind of a cryptid existing on the internet that people found that apparently was discovered by one Urso Ruiz. He used to set up traps to feed various birds and snakes. Trap birds and snakes on his farm, which he would use as feed. And then he trapped, apparently one day, a small alien creature in one of these rat traps. And this creature was eventually sold to a journalist, Jaime Mausin, who made a big to-do in 2010. Making claims that this was an actual alien creature. It could have been, you know, chupacabra. It was something they had found. It was totally gross. Like, if you look up pictures of it, nasty. You pull this thing up, like, it's pretty bleh. It's a pinkish, grossish, almost fetal looking creature. It's got teeth, like teeth and eyes and stuff like that. That was, again, that was something that was, it was fabricated. This thing that everybody thought that is this strange looking creature was actually like a spider, it was like a shaved spider monkey corpse that they had taken a picture of.
Yeah.
And Urso Ruiz came out and admitted that.
I hope it's not this. So this is that bastard, another guy that buys a monkey just to kill it to fake.
Yeah, we talked about that before. But we don't know if he killed it. It might have been something that, I don't know. Maybe it got caught in one of those traps we mentioned before. Maybe it was already dead. So can't really just say that they killed it just for this, but maybe they just took advantage of a situation perhaps. But it was at least admitted by Urso Ruiz, the person who was alleged to have found this creature, that this was a hoax. And Jaime Mausin was in on it. So if it goes to reasons, as I would, that's this one in 2010 and then another one in 2017 and they make no mention of this. Like if they had mentioned this, I feel like they should have mentioned that in the video to be like, kind of like, hey, like, you know, yeah, I found this one before, but it was a hoax, but you know, I'm still looking. I would respect that personally. Like I would respect that more to be like, I made a mistake last time and okay, but this one is legit. Like, okay.
The thing is, I'm like, if the second you hoax, even if you were part of some sort of expedition that found something, you can't put your name on it. You can't. Like, he shouldn't have. If this is legit, you wanted to be taken.
Unless you're a master tracker. If you're a master tracker,
or a master, you get a fucking do-over. Master bone ringer.
Master bone ringer. Master used car salesman. Yeah. No, who is the guy? Who is the guy who was like, get me my Diet Snapple? That guy, you know, he was in on the first one and then he's still doing it. I think he's still part of the Bigfoot community.
It's it is disheartening because it's like the stories of this one line up so good. You know, these Nazca mummies, you have the Nazca lines, right? These objects that can only be seen from space. Like a lot of it adds up. And then I start to think, I'm like, okay, well, if this is a hoax, then they went through a fucking lot of effort to make sure the backstory would work nicely.
Well, it's like, well, but even the backstory of these things is like, we found them. Yeah. Like some guy brought them to me and that's all he really had to do. He's like, they because these huaqueros, the bone wranglers, a lot of the stuff that they do, like a majority of their work is illegal in their country. Yeah, like it's grave robbing. So they can't
be like, look what I found.
Yeah, you can't go into depth. It's hard to go into depth with a lot of the origins of these things, because it's like, this stuff was brought to me by this guy who wants to remain anonymous. Like the job he does, it's essentially tomb robbing is what they do. And is a lot of it is illegal. And is, I think Peru, a lot of the South American countries are kind of like, you know, bearing down on a lot of this, like, you know, they're finding that it is a lucrative, it seems to be a lucrative illegal market for these things. And so they're kind of bringing the hammer down on a lot of these huaqueros. Maybe someday there will be no more bone wranglers.
The huaqueros are on the way out.
Hopefully.
Well, once you can only wrangle so many bones, you're going to run out of bones.
These mummies have a mysterious origin that you can't really get into. They're brought forth and they'd be like, they just found these things. You can't say exactly where. You can just say the kind of area that they're in. And they're like, oh, we found them around the Nazca Lines. And the Nazca Lines, which are an amazing piece of human culture and historical markers. Like, these things are amazing. Like we said, just a couple of weeks ago, they have found more, you know, the stories are going to keep coming out and I'm sure they're going to do a lot more work, but we found a bunch more of the Nazca lines near the other lines just now. I would say that like things like this, you know, hoaxes are deplorable in some sense. Like these things shouldn't happen, but they also kind of shine a spotlight on the stuff that is really happening there. A lot of the stuff that has a little bit more integrity than some bones found by a bone wrangler and then put together. Because again, like this was in the news and it was a lot on a lot of what you would consider, mainstream or white, you know, kind of considered more places. I'm pretty sure like they were in the AP, like, you know, Associated Press. I mean, they were on CNN to some extent, whatever. But like, you know, that they were to print this story on these outlets is kind of like, wow, that's neat. Maybe it was a slow news day. I don't know. But putting these out there and a lot of experts kind of chimed in to be like, you know, I'm sure somebody who has spent, you know, the last four to five years of life trying to write out their PhD on osteology or like, you know, whatever they're doing, like an x-ray technician's being like getting their PhD, and we could kind of look at these and just like send it an email and be like, yeah, this is, no, that's not how bones work.
Well, the other thing to me that's kind of like upsetting is because I'm like, you look at Gaia and what they're trying to do and then what they associate themselves really much, that it almost gets to the point where if you're calling Gaia first, you're basically being like, yeah, we're going to try to hoax him. Hoax these fools yet again.
Well, the guy was probably about fifth on the list.
Samira, right? Samir Monagetch was first, probably.
right.
I agree with that. So it's like, yeah, like a Gaia promotes a lot of, you know, alternative history, lifestyle viewpoints.
But there is weird stories. That's what I'm saying. There is weird stuff out there that they could, but they give such a,
they sensationalize like a lot of it to a point. It's like, you didn't have to spread this over 12. If you had to spread this over 12 episodes of like a show, and they're not even like 30 minutes long. Like each one's only like 10 to 12 minutes clips.
Yeah, well, it's really, obvious.
Of the whole investigation.
If they had a little bit more, like it feels like pretty much anybody's getting a platform as well, right? Like if they had a way of like kind of weeding out the duds.
Sure.
Right? Like this one, they're like, well, we got these x-ray specialists. They didn't tell you that the fucking x-ray specialist found their x-ray goggles in the bottom of cereal box. Right?
Yeah. We got this x-ray. He's been working here for whatever. And it's like, but you just, no, it's somebody like they pulled off the street almost. Like, it's kind of like we took it to a veterinary doctor. Not that veterinarians aren't real doctors, but you know, you took it to them and gave them no context. And they kind of said, oh yeah, this definitely isn't human. And then they clip it right there. Cause there's a lot of shady edits in the video, I would say, that like cut stuff off and being like, oh, that's definitely not human. And then they cut it off there because the next thing they're going to say, like, that kind of looks like a llama bone, like, you know, like a bone from some type of animal, you know? And it's like, yeah, well, they said it's not human. Yeah. And like, yeah, but they also said that it looks like it's taken from like a capybara or something.
Well, see, and that goes to a good point of what Andrew said earlier. It's like, yeah, they take a section of it. They're like, yeah, human. But then it's like, yeah, what about the skull though?
It was a weird case back in 2017. I haven't seen a lot of updates. I think the last update was like in 2020 about this. And they were, I think it was on Gaia.com. And it was not that we're plugging them, but it's just, it was an update about their, they're doing more DNA tests on these creatures. My whole thing about worrying about the DNA test is like, okay, when they were handling these things, nobody was wearing face masks. That's number one. Like nobody, not this was pre-pandemic, so it's not like that's a big a deal, but just the fact that it's like, it's, would you watch when you watch a lot of stuff where they are handling like, you know, centuries old Egyptian mummies or prove it, like actual like academic archaeological centers, like things, they are like head to toe. Like they got their hairnets on, they got their face masks on, they got their goggles on. And then a lot of these things, it's like they just have gloves. And then you don't know where those bodies have been. You know, you don't know if the bone wranglers took a lot of the same precautions moving those things.
I don't know if they have curses.
They don't know if they have curses.
But if I know anything about bone wrangling, illegal bone wrangling, you're just throwing everything you find in a burlap sack.
This is true. And then replacing it with a bag of sand that weighs essentially the same. It probably, you know, you weight it with your hand and it's about the same weight. So put it on there.
And there's going to be snakes.
Probably going to be snakes.
There's going to be snakes.
So, yeah, I would worry about contamination and just degradation at this point because it's like, yeah, we're going to do a bunch of updates. And it's like, well, you guys kind of already had your chance. And not much kind of came out of that. Like nothing conclusive. I think by any means, because I think pretty much at the end of the documentary, they kind of just give you that's like they leave you off with the thought, like Braden was saying, and we kind of say things like, okay, if this was because some of the parts of the body were carbon dated, and they were like some parts of the body are like 800 years old or 700 years old, and was this body artificially created by? You know, it's a you know, macabre but interesting thought. Like, were these things created for the hoax? Were they created, in image of something, an effigy of something, something like we said, like to imitate the look of something that somebody had seen. So there's still kind of questions. Like, why would somebody do this? The question for anything like this, why would you do this?
That's an interesting thought because right away, so it's like there's a possibility that like, while this maybe isn't what they thought, maybe this is a weird thing where this is some, like, do we know the age of the other parts that are put in? Because was this decorated as some sort of shrine or something to something? You know what I mean? Like that's, and these people found, they're like, this is fucking crazy. What the hell are these things in the mud here? Grabbed them and ran. And then it turns out, like, you know, it's...
Listen, King Cusco loved creepy weirdos. So what we're going to do is we're going to find all the creepy weirdos we can, put them together, and toss them in this pit for them.
So, yeah, those are the alien mummies. Like, I don't, it's hard to have a, it's hard to have like almost like a, because the information is so jumbled and it's kind of been a while since they've been out. I'm sure there will, other alien mummies will come along like eventually. But I also like wonder, like, is it becoming harder and harder to kind of hoax people into this kind of thing?
Well,
like,
yeah, I would say at a point,
like,
yes.
Like as we,
as a point, yes.
Yeah. Because like now we have, there is a bigger, I think there is a larger interest in these things now. There is a larger amount of media coverage on these things now, as opposed to, you know, years ago when it was kind of like, these are still niche things. And it's like, some people will not, a lot of like experts will just kind of avoid it, like just out of hand. They'll just dismiss it, you know, wave hand it away, hand wave it. They'll just kind of be like, yeah, whatever. Like, nobody's going to believe that, whatever. But you know, there are some experts that we have now that people are, you know, grew up on the X-Files and stuff like this, and have become doctors and they've become, you know, medical experts and can look at these things and be like, no.
Well, and I think that
that's that.
I think for all these hoaxes are going to really, they fall apart as soon as they send them off to any specialist, right? That's the level. Like if you were going to try to actually like do some sort of high level test, you'd have to like actually make some, by you to be able to hoax at a level that would hoax science at this level, it's like hoaxers don't have access to the type of technology needed at this point to make that happen, right? So I would say like a surface level, these things, you know, hit the headlines and stuff, but it's very quickly, you know, can be disproven if it's not legit. But this still doesn't, you know, I'm still not convinced that these things weren't set up like this hundreds of years ago and they were just found like this, and perhaps, you know, give these guys the benefit of the doubt. They find it and they're like, what the fuck? They don't, like, these bone wranglers don't know how bones go together, but like maybe this was put together just 400 years ago, right? And just left there.
Yeah, I've always, it doesn't, even though we have our share of hoaxes and we cover them, it doesn't dim my interest in some of these things. Like, again, the overarching reason for me to is like, why would somebody do this? Even if you put it together out of the intention to like do a hoax. And it's like, I'm interested, like, where did you get the body part? Where did they get the pieces?
Where did you get the possums?
To put this all together. Where did you get the possum guts to throw in there? And like, how did they do it? And, you know, those kinds of questions to me are still as important as to be like, is this an actual human and or human alien hybrid creature? Like any of those are, those questions are, I think, have interesting and will lead you to interesting, you know, questions and answers along the way, if not more questions than answers. I don't know. Like I will still, again, if there's alien mummies, I'm still going to look at it and I'm still going to, you're going to tell me this is an alien mummy. I'm going to be like, sure. You know, like show me the tests, like show me the DNA test. Give me a couple independent, you know, analysis of the, of the like mitochondrial DNA and all that fun stuff. Like get a couple of scientists, not just one, because you can't just have one. And she's like, yeah, it's like, well, where did you find this guy? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I always enjoy this stuff. Always pops up because yes, you will see this, the alien mummies. I'm sure people have seen it on TikTok. They've seen it on Instagram, they've seen it on social media. It's the same one. It's the same alien mummies found in Peru. It's the same mummy.
There's a Prime, you can watch, there's a documentary on Prime you can check out and stuff. So
I'm sure every couple of years they're going to bring out, you know, get Maria out of the storage unit that they put her in. Cause I have no idea where the body is right now. Apparently it's probably at like Gaia headquarters somewhere. and they'll probably bring her out every now and then to make another, six entry documentary about her. Yeah. So I don't know. Keep your eyes open.
All right. As we wrap this one up, as always, we need help. support the boys. Head to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast. Do it. What are you waiting for at this point? Seriously. Mm-hmm. This is how many videos of ours are you going to watch? How many podcasts are you going to listen to without at least buying us a beer? And guess what? It's not even, you're not even buying anything. We're trading. Give us $5. We'll give you
you're getting more out of the deal.
Hundreds of hours.
You're getting the better part of the deal. It's like, if you're waiting to catch up on the podcast, don't, because a lot of this stuff is like, it supplements the podcast. Yeah. Like, we talk about stuff on there that we thought about while we were doing the regular, Alien Theorist Theorizing Prime. Yeah. We've got tons of other insane, weird shit on there, for your listening pleasure.
For $25, there's a shirtless video of Andrew just doing bench press, as many as he can do. It's on there.
Yeah.
It's not true. It's not true, but
not true yet.
Yeah. It can be arranged.
So head to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast and help us become full-time podcasters. This month, our new supporters, or this week's new supporters, we have Harriet Westlake.
Superior to Harriet Westlake.
Tori Armstrong.
Absolutely.
Derek and Angela Martin. And Craptacular. Those thanks to those dudes for helping support the show. It keeps the lights on, especially when we just bought a new studio that I'm working on. So, as we say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. Peace.